What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Here we are. It is May 18th. We got lots of stuff to talk about. One of the biggest contract update sections that we've had in really since this pandemic started outside of the releases. There is a lot going on right now, and we're going to go ahead and get right into it. Thank you for subscribing to Fightful Select, first and foremost. I appreciate you. As Jimmy mentioned on Wednesday, we are looking to integrate Fightful Select into Fightful.com. And I wanted to get ahead of that at the top of the show. We don't know when that will happen. We've just kind of started all this. We've planned it for quite a while. But some basic information that I wanted to give you guys. There will be one price tier when that happens. There will be different abilities. We'll be able to bring you more stuff early. Everybody will get the same type of content, whether it be early access or news or podcasts or whatever that may be. We'll have the ability to offer free months either as a reward or as an introduction. We'll be able to do a lot more stuff when we integrate this into Fightful.com than we can on Patreon. This may not be a secret to some of you, but even from the jump, the ultimate plan was to integrate this into Fightful.com. That's why you never hear me use the term Patreon on any podcast, on anything that we promote, because the URL will still be FightfulSelect.com. You all will just go to the same place you go to on your web browser, FightfulSelect.com. If there's anything that you all want us to add, we're willing to add that as well. So I want to hear your feedback. I want to hear what you all will want out of the new FightfulSelect.com when it drops. We are at our highest point of subscribers, and I can't tell you how much that means to me personally, considering the world that we live in right now, that more people are subscribing than ever before. Thank you guys so much. But I know you guys came here for news, not as much as updates, but I do like to give you all the updates on this show at the beginning of the show. So if you have any questions, let me know in the comments, and I'll answer them to the best of my ability. The big story, well, there's a lot of big stories, aren't there? Roman Reigns, that's what we'll lead with, because had a little bit of an update. I spoke to a lot of people high up in WWE who told us that Roman does not seem in any rush to return, and nobody here faults him for it. The person would say that right now, there's no indication when or even if a return could happen, saying that he could head back in 2 weeks, 2 months, or be out indefinitely, and that Roman Reigns is not figured into any creative plans at the moment. Just my personal opinion, I don't fault anybody in this situation. I don't fault Roman Reigns for staying at home, whether it be for his kids or for his personal health. I don't fault WWE for eliminating him from creative plans moving forward. I do think it's a little weird that they outright don't mention him. It's an insult to the intelligence, one, that maybe he were pushed in the manner that he was at some point. Now, I want to say, I think he's an outstanding performer. I think they have maximized his positives, specifically since the Undertaker match, really on the mic as well. He keeps it short and sweet. He doesn't really sit out there and go on a deep monologue. But when you push somebody like they have for so long and prepared him for so many quote-unquote coronations that didn't end up working, when you take him off TV and you not only don't mention him, but you edit him out of active programming, that's an insult to the viewer's intelligence as well. Now, another person I talked to in WWE said Roman's going to make over $1,000 on Cameo every day if he does it, so even if they stop paying him, it wouldn't matter, and they're not going to stop paying him. We've not been given any indication that Reigns has been pressured to return, and several high up in the company were not told as to why he was edited out of that Seth Rollins cash-in video package that aired recently. The person said, I have no idea. I can see it as a yes, you should read more into it, and I can see it as a the point was Rollins and Drew are on the on similar paths, end quote. So yeah, that's a fair explanation, is that Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins had similar ascents up the ladder, and I don't know. I don't see that. I think they're categorically different, to be honest with you. I don't think they could be much more different outside of WrestleMania main events, so to speak, but No indication about Roman Reigns' return. That's being kept very close to the vest, and there's a lot to this. Another said it was an out of sight, out of mind situation. Hey, here's the hoping Roman Reigns can get back soon and safe. Speaking of WWE, they've been much more relaxed in recent years as it pertains to social media. We've seen several wrestlers and producers start and continue their podcasts and shows, and even contracted wrestlers have contacted us personally for interviews. And some have went to bat and said, hey, we'll ask somebody in PR, et cetera, et cetera. There's a little bit of a shift going on in that regard because years ago, nobody had podcasts. You weren't getting an interview if it weren't with PR. And now a lot of the wrestlers are starting to do their own thing. They're doing their own thing for Cameo, Celeb VM. WWE seems to have a really relaxed policy for that. And there were people like Bruce Pritchard, Curt Hawkins, Zack Ryder, EC3, Strowman, Drake Maverick, Shane Helms. They all continue to do their shows while with WWE. Personally, I love this. I think it's good that WWE is allowing more freedom in that manner. Because if you allow more freedom in that manner, more people are likely to connect to these wrestlers, which is something that the company needs pretty badly right now. We are WWE heavy this week. We'll talk about some more in the contract section, but the Drew Gulak situation, there were rumors among backstage talent that Gulak's deal was coming due soon and he had yet to re-sign with the company. Several in the talent pool had known of his departure as of Saturday morning. So the tweets that he had sent to Daniel Bryan that day were after it was known internally and personally that he was gone. The two sides were apparently too far apart on money, and his deal ended up lapsing. He is not subject to a non-compete clause, and I've been told that the door is open for a return, but who knows if that will happen. He impressed a lot of people with his work with Daniel Bryan, and rightfully so. He's a very talented guy. There was also a situation with the former team of The Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, as they were formerly known, now known as Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, were served a cease and desist from Caleb Conley and Zane Riley for the use of the term The Revolt. Now, Conley and Riley have used this team name on the independent circuit for a while, but if you paid attention to Fightful Select, you might have had this sent to your inbox and it was deleted a little bit after. Last month, we had revealed that the name was not going to be The Revolt. It was going to be FTR. It was always going to be FTR, with the acronym meaning different things, open to interpretation and open to change. This is something that Wheeler and Harwood's attorneys confirmed. Now, the attorney Michael Dawkins, who is big into trademarks in wrestling right now. Now, here's the thing. In the cease and desist that Zayn and Conley sent to FTR, it was stated that they contacted The Revival to no avail. I can confirm that's not true. I know that at least one member of The Revival, or now FTR, had contact with, I believe it was Caleb Conley, as far back as almost a month ago. It was, I think, April 21st when I tried to dig and find this news. So that was the situation. They were always going to go with FTR. They were going to implement the Revolt as more of a tagline than a team name. So yeah, that just wasn't ever the plan. It was FTR. Still is. And now they're trolling on social media. I don't know how I feel about that, but hey, to each their own. Also, some news on Gronk, WWE, Vince McMahon. After I had published the original Rob Gronkowski dive story where Vince McMahon did the dive for him, I heard from, a few wrestlers and a couple people backstage as well that really hammered home why Vince McMahon had to do this. Rob Gronkowski was said to have been terrified of what equated to a 2-foot dive with a bunch of NXT wrestlers catching him. And even after Vince McMahon went and did the dive, it required more goading and coaxing. Ultimately, the delay put WrestleMania 36 hours behind its filming schedule. And there were several people not happy with this, not happy with having to sit around all day, not happy with matches and filming being delayed. They had to move around quite a few things to basically accompany this goading that had to be done to get Rob Gronkowski to even do the dive. What a mess. What a mess. ECW month continues. We talked to Johnny Swinger, who has a real wealth of knowledge. You might not realize it, but he's had experience in WWE, NWA, TNA, ECW, WCW, and now Impact Wrestling's version. We talked about the Impact tapings that you see requiring a much bigger setup and preparation than anyone would realize, and he noted he's never seen a hiccup working for Impact over the last several months, and this is me diving into opinion here. When I showed up there to interview him, I was shocked at how many people were required to set up a Twitch taping. I had no idea. It took dozens of people to prepare that set and prepare everything that was going in there. You would think that it was more of a skeleton crew, but it wasn't. They had a lot of people working really hard to make it happen. And as far as production, they do have the benefit of being taped most of the time. But still, you see pretty slick production. Now, they could do better with lighting and a lot of things like that. But as far as the production that you see that makes TV, it's usually really good with Impact. I talked to Swinger about ECW's influence and working on a budget, which he says was a bit of a culture shock to him after working for WCW. And he says that cutaways that you see whenever an error or something unexpected happens is something that Heyman and ECW used to do back in the day that he sees happening a lot now. He was very thankful to be back on the national scene after 13 years away. And he said that Scott D'Amore was who brought him back, and that he has a lot of confidence in Scott D'Amore knowing how to use Johnny Swinger, and always has. He says that that Scott D'Amore knows how to use Johnny Swinger better than anybody. And the thing is, Swinger made it clear about a year and a half, I want to say about 15 months ago, that he wanted to go to AEW or Impact. And I remember then seeing some comments like, yeah, I bet he does. I'm sure he does in his mid-40s when I go back there. But he showed up in insane shape. He does good work. He's able to do a lot of different things. And he even told me that he'd possibly be interested in getting involved in doing some agenting and producing after his career is over, and has dabbled with it on the independent circuit, but hasn't really jumped all the way in. That interview drops on Friday on Fightful. It continues ECW month. Swinger started working there in, I think, March of 2000, and stayed there for almost a year. Stayed there through their final pay-per-view show, Guilty as Charged, where he worked a quick match on that event as well. We'd mentioned WWE's social media policy earlier, and we talked to Leo Rush, and he said WWE never contacted him about his music, his promos, or anything that he put on YouTube, except for one skit. There was one that featured him and Noam Dar at urinals, where Leo leaned over and kind of laughed at Noam Dar. Outside of that, he mentioned that he had complete creative freedom over what was on his YouTube, but they did ask him to take that down because of some of the implications there, I guess. But when I talked to Leo, he seemed very optimistic about his future, whether or not that involved pro wrestling. And he would not commit to whether or not that involved pro wrestling. His music career is doing really well, and he just released an album, which he does not think would have occurred if not for the extended time off that he got in 2019. He was preparing for himself to be let go from the company in general. So he was very surprised when Triple H gave him a call back to return to NXT. And with the previous exposure on the USA Network, Triple H thought that Leo would be a really good fit for NXT and what they were doing, and noted that there were actually some things, Leo noted rather, that there were actually some things that they didn't agree with and they worked out ahead of time, and he had not heard from WWE whatsoever during that time off. Now, Vince McMahon was actually responsible for bringing Leo Rush up to Raw months and months before that. He said he got absolutely no feedback on promos, skits, or music he was releasing on YouTube, did not ask permission before doing so, and said that he remembered a producer actually lying about watching his vignettes and watching his promo. But Vince McMahon somehow saw some of his early promos and decided that he wanted to put Leo and Lashley together. However, Leo and Lashley didn't really know what was going on. Leo didn't know what he was doing until Lashley approached him the day of and said, "Hey, I think they're teaming us together." Now, when I talked to Leo, he said he doesn't see himself as arrogant or cocky, and it bothers him when people do. Instead, he thinks he's confident and thinks that the way he was brought up where he was brought up, he had to be confident in order to make it. And that goes for the same in wrestling. He believes he's confident because he's proven he could adapt to situations, and says that Bobby Lashley is the only person that he really spoke to about that. Although Cash Wheeler, who was then Dash Wilder, did let it be known on the bus one time that there was an issue. He said that Dash brought up a tweet that was out there and kind of mimicked it. But then after that, they developed a professional courtesy and a bit of a rivalry there. And he did say that things got a lot better. And I reached out to a lot of wrestlers about the release of Leo Rush. And one of them said, you know, it's a shame that they cut him after he got things in order and he got his ducks in a row and he was easy to deal with and he had turned things around because of the type of talent that he was. He also mentioned WWE did not ask him to cut his hair. He had that signature blonde mohawk. He did it to differentiate himself from his indie run, and his hair was starting to fall out anyway. But he did express a little bit of regret in that. Now we have one of the biggest updates to our injuries contract situation that we've had. Now, reminder, you can go to our resources section on Fightful.com, and we have constantly, daily updated injury reports, inactive lists, contract updates. Inactive list, you add Becky Lynch to that. She announced her pregnancy on May 11th. She is due in December, so she is sidelined for the foreseeable future. Best wishes to Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. This is positive news. Good for them. I'm glad that they're starting a family, but that's a big one for WWE. They lose a huge name in Becky Lynch. They got back Peyton Royce and Billy Kay last week, who had been out of action for about 6 months. They returned and entered the women's tag team title picture, so that is already back in the fold. But WWE Raw looks like they're losing Rey Mysterio for right now as well. He has a kayfabe eye injury, but there are some contract situations involving Rey Mysterio as well. He has not signed a new deal. He has an 18-month out. His original deal was up in October 2020. Big contract updates. MLW announced they have re-signed Richard Holiday to a multi-year deal. Now, I don't know how definitive these MLW contracts are, as we've said in the past, but they did announce that. Ricky Starks, a big name for the NWA, has left. I don't know what it is that caused this, but we're working to find out more. Crazy Steve has signed a multi-year deal with Impact Wrestling. This is really good for him. I mean, he had been there for years and did really well in Impact Wrestling and was a name that a lot of people there liked. And there were rumors that he was getting WWE interest. There were rumors that even he had signed with WWE and would start a few years ago, but that didn't happen. And effectively, he's been gone for the last 3 years. He did a couple spots in Impact Wrestling last year, but ever since April of 2017, roughly, he'd been gone. Now he's back. Sue Young has re-signed with Impact Wrestling. Her deal had lapsed, so that's a good name in the women's division, the Knockouts division, that they get to retain. And they continue to have one of the best women's divisions in wrestling. Rachel Ellering was a part of the WWE NXT releases. As I mentioned, WWE has not made these public. I've asked WWE why they're not making these public. They didn't answer me. But she's out there. She will be a name that gets a few bookings here and there. And she'll probably get a real crack at whether it be Impact or Ring of Honor or somewhere like that now. Drew Gulak, his contract expired, as we mentioned. He is free to start wherever he wants immediately. So that's going to be one to look out for, because he is an outstanding name to have who was just starting his ascent. But perhaps some of the biggest news, Undertaker has signed a 15-year contract apparently sometime last year, which would put him through 2034. Keep in mind, 1990 to 2034. That would almost guarantee 44 years in the company. Unbelievable. I'm pretty sure he's already the first person to compete in a match 30 consecutive years in WWE. Could be wrong. Don't think I am. My God. Good for him. Some stats. Becky Lynch's WWE Raw title reign ends at 400 days. Asuka was NXT champion in 16 and 17. SmackDown Women's Champion in 18 and 19. WWE Women's Tag Champion in 19 and 20. And now Raw Women's Champion in 2020. So she has held a title every year since 2016. And has held the Raw Women's title, SmackDown Women's title, NXT Women's title, WWE Tag Team titles. Has won the Royal Rumble and Money in the Bank. She is the first woman to ever do that. Also, no man has held the Universal title, the WWE title, the NXT title, a tag title, won a Royal Rumble, and a Money in the Bank. So she is in pretty exclusive company there in this new brand split era. Drew McIntyre took on Andrade for the second time in under a month. From WrestleMania to Money in the Bank, Drew McIntyre defeated three WrestleMania main eventers in WWE title matches. The Iconics wrestled for the first time since November, and they won on WWE TV for the first time since they were tag champions last June. Elias has worked only six televised matches in 2020, and six since September 4th, 2019. Elias had not wrestled since WrestleMania. He carried a six-match winning streak into this week's SmackDown, extended that to seven. He's not been pinned on TV since losing to Ricochet last August. Both SmackDown matches in the first hour were rematched from the last 6 weeks. Yikes. Chris Jericho competed in his eighth match of the year on Wednesday, and it was his shortest of the year. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to Fightful Select. I want to take a little time at the end of this show, and I probably will on the Raw podcast as well. Rest in peace, Larry Zonka of 411 Mania. I effectively grew up reading a lot of his reviews, and I loved going to that website. The passion in which that guy reviewed stuff was unmatched, and it really taught me that you gotta love wrestling. You gotta love wrestling if this is what you're gonna be into. I think there are a lot of people that don't seem like they love it, and Larry Zonka could be reviewing anything from WXW to WWE, and you could see the passion come through. And I don't think anybody has reviewed more wrestling than Larry Zonka did in the last 20 years. And I really mean it. I don't think anybody has. Jeremy Lambert of Fightful, very close to him, did a lot of shows with him, worked with him. I'm sure he's going to share his thoughts this week as well, but this is a major loss to wrestling coverage. It's a major loss to the integrity of wrestling coverage, and it's just a major loss to the world. Larry Zonka, who I didn't have a personal relationship with, I never got to work with him, always pleasant to me, always such an entertaining guy, and man, his body of work is inspiring. I want to wish the best to his family, to his friends, to his readers, to 411 Mania, and I hate that this happened, and may he rest in peace.